Is what it is. We are back. Lord have mercy. Move that deal. We're good. Law. I thought today we would take a step back and talk about what's going on this season in Cincinnati. Talk about what's going on leading up to this point as we get into crunch time of the season. You got week 16 coming up and things are shaping up in the NFL playoffs. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to just talk about what's going on with the Bengals. There's a really great article that I read from the Cincinnati Inquirer on my phone this morning on Twitter. And now I'm trying to open it on this computer right here, and it's asking me to sign in to read it. But I think I remember some key talking points from the article. So we'll unhash that. It seems like the malpractice of the Bengals front office is finally hitting the national scene. It seems like every second tweet on my Twitter timeline is talking about the Bengals front office. And it's evident that they are not going to change a thing. Zach Taylor had a press conference today, and I listened to all of it. It's about 18 minutes. And it's just more of the same stuff. He took full accountability for the Bengals season. Like he said, it was this has been my fault, my hands on all of this. And it's just really depressing territory for Bengals fans right now, because it's become very clear that the fans care more than the front office. The front office got cut a $433 million check last year at the end of the league year for doing nothing. If you win zero games, or if you win 17 in the NFL, your revenue share stays what it is. In fact, it continues to go up. And so this is more of the same what we talked about yesterday. And I'll probably talk about it next episode. And I'll probably talk about it the episode after that. And it probably still won't change anything in Cincinnati. That's what's really depressing. When you think about a depressed person, you think about somebody who feels a certain way, feels a type of pain. And the reason they're depressed is not because of the pain they're feeling. The reason they're depressed is because they don't know when the pain is going to end, if ever. And that's what Bengals fans are feeling about their team right now. When is it going to end? When is it going to be over? When can we feel like we have competent people running this thing? Probably never. When can we feel like we have an adequate scouting department? You can go on the websites. You can go on the team websites and count how many folks are in each scouting department. Baltimore Ravens have 33. The Steelers have 28. The Browns have 22. And the Bengals have 7. Plus Mike Brown. Plus Mike Brown. The son of the godfather of football. He hadn't really done anything. You know, his team lifetime has a losing record. But he's on the scouting department. And so that, you know, they're okay. You know, and they got his son, you know, Paul Jr. or whatever. One man, one jar. That's it, baby. In the jar. This is my football podcast. This is the fastest growing football podcast in the land. And in the jar basically means, look, I'm fired up. I'm pissed off. I'm trapped in a life-size mason jar, and I want to get out, and I'm just banging on that thing. I'm pissed off. And I'm in the jar about the Bengals, and I think the entire fan base is in the jar with me right now, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. It's just this depression across the fan base, because there truly looks like there's going to be no end to this. It truly looks like there's going to be nobody held accountable with the travesty that's unfolding in front of us that is the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow has got the juice to be one of the best football players of all time. And he's in his prime right now. He's my age. I know how I feel right now. Joe Burrow and I are the same age. And I feel pretty good at this age. And we've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row now. And it looks like the Bengals are going, I hesitate to even say we anymore. Do you guys catch that? We're going on 3 years without the playoffs with a guy in Joe Burrow. Oh, and Ja'Marr Chase is on the team too. Oh, and T. Higgins is on the team too. Now it's a team game, and that's where they're coming up short. They're not building teams. They're just finding players. We're not building teams in Cincinnati. We're paying three or four players, and that's a whole nother can of worms. Kind of conflicting for me to talk about because I love all those guys. I liked seeing them get re-signed, but I don't like seeing a defense that can't tackle. I don't like seeing guys coming off a terrible loss, telling reporters, laughing them off after a loss, saying, we'll see you guys Monday. I don't like that ownership doesn't go in front of the media ever. They are completely isolated. I mean, if you're in the Brown family, I could imagine that would be a really, really toxic family to be in. I think my family's toxic sometimes. Golly, I can't imagine being in that family. The way we talked about this yesterday, and I think this is the main thing that the Brown family just can't grasp. And that is that when you own a football team in Cincinnati, Ohio, an NFL team for that matter, you have to understand the cultural significance of your organization. You are representing to the world what the city is all about when you run an NFL team. That's just the reality of what it's come to. This is why I care about football so much. Because if I wear a Bengals shirt, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. If I wear a Bengals shirt to go get a hamburger on a Friday night downtown, and somebody sees my shirt, they're going to be like, you from Cincinnati? And I'm going to be like, pretty much. And the whole conversation gets started just off of a Bengals shirt. That's just a tiny, tiny example of what I'm talking about. And I talked about this yesterday on the show. In 21 and 22, I used to walk around ready to talk to anybody that would listen about the Bengals. I was so proud to say, that's the area I'm from. We've been through years of suffering, but now we're popping and we got our guy. And what's even harder about it, looking back at that, is that in 2021 and 2022, Bengals fans I feel comfortable speaking for all of the fans in my experience of how I felt during those years, we were like, dude, we got maybe 10 years of this coming up. We're starting. This is Joey B's second year, and he gets us to the Super Bowl. We might have 15 years of this. And we go to the AFC Championship game in 2022. That was a great season. I saw the clip of Osai and Mahomes out of bounds. Osai should have pulled up. You know, when all that was going down, that AFC Championship game in 2022. When all of that was at its emotional height, of course I was saying, he didn't hit him late. The Chiefs are penalty merchants. And the only reason they're good is because the refs help him out. What I've learned since then is that that is cyclical. And the league has a few of its teams that is in the league's interest to win at the time. And so the... I was just about to drop a bar, too, and then I choke on my own spit. The league chooses its teams. It's cyclical in the way the league chooses the teams that the referees are going to favor. But there's always a team or two. This year, it's been the Eagles. And maybe part of last year. The refs probably had no idea how to handle the Super Bowl last year, Chiefs-Eagles, but they didn't really have to handle it because it was a beatdown, you know. One of the really worst performances I can ever remember in a Super Bowl were the Chiefs last year. But let's not kick the Chiefs while we're down. I mean, so walking around in 2021, 2022 as a Bengals fan, the prospects are bright. We might have 10 more years of this every year, us being in it, in the mix, Burrow becoming the next Manning or Brady, you know, because I'm 29. When I was elementary schooler, middle schooler, high schooler, even the first part of college, it was Brady in the Super Bowl. It was Manning in the Super Bowl. And when you saw Joe Burrow lead the Bengals to the Super Bowl in year two, as a Bengals fan, you're thinking, this is the guy you're going to see in these games, like Brady, like Manning. This is the guy. And this front office, Zach Taylor and his presser today, are still hanging their hats on this shit. 5 years ago now, half a decade ago, we're in a press conference on December 17th, 2025, talking to Zach Taylor, and Zach Taylor's telling us to remember 2021 season, 2022 season, saying we've gotten there before with the same processes and the same people, and we believe we can get back there with the same processes and the same people. So if anybody in here, I imagine we have some Bengals fans in here right now. If you guys believe that a damn thing is going to change, you're going to be disappointed. And I've seen so many, this is really a Bengals therapy session today. I've seen so many Bengals fans in comment threads today. I've probably seen 8 or 10 Bengals fans in comments threads in the last 24 hours that have said the exact words, I've been following this team for 40 plus years and I am at my breaking point. Think about that. And I think all it it was like the high of seeing what these guys could do in 2021-22. And the feeling that we were going to have this every year for a while and just shooting your, you know, it's like shooting yourself in the forefoot the night before a marathon or something. I don't know. You just, nothing that's happened to the Bengals has been them not being in their own way. I really wish I could go into this article, but I don't think I can. You know, the gist of it is, man, this guy, this really brave dude, I can't even remember his name. Cincinnati media seems very, very scared and regretful to ever ask hard questions. And I don't know if they worry that the front office is going to revoke access or whether they feel bad that they have to basically ask a talking piece in Zach Taylor why the front office is the way they are. We saw a couple of those questions in Zach Taylor's press conference today. There was an exchange where a front office question was asked. I can't remember the exact question. And Zach Taylor said, you'd have to ask them. And the reporter, I think it was Trags on Twitter, Petraglia, I can't remember his freaking name, but his handle is Trags, okay? He's a Cincinnati Bengals reporter. He asked this question. He asked the front office question. Zach Taylor said, you're going to have to ask them that. And Trags fires back and says, we don't get access to them, so we can't ask them that. And then Zach Taylor, with a shit-eating grin on his face, said, well, I'm sorry. And they just move on. So maybe reporters don't ask hard questions because they know they're not asking the right guy, because the right guy will never go to the podium. The right guy in this context is ownership. And they just, these are the type of people, man. This is very sinister. This is a very sinister situation when you think about it. I look at pictures of Mike Brown, and I don't know if it's preconceived notions because it's a man that has indirectly caused me and millions of other people so much pain, but I look at pictures of Mike Brown, dude, and the guy just, his eyes look lifeless. Also, looks genetically fucked, if I can be perfectly frank. His eyes are just all jacked up and, like, no symmetry in this guy's face. I really think that there might be something genetically wrong with this Brown family. And maybe that's part of the issue. Maybe Mike Brown's a bit mentally challenged, literally. Might be missing a chromosome or two at this point. You look at his face, and he doesn't look right. I don't know if it's a spiritual thing. There's definitely a darkness out of his eyes. But also, his eyes are much lower than that of the average person. He doesn't look like a healthy person, even though he has survived into old age. But his daughter, Katie, not a looker either. Let's just call a spade a spade. What if we broke this here on a wing and a prayer? The Brown family, the owners of the Bengals, operate the organization in a defunct manner because it's been found that they have a genetic disorder and they're all mentally challenged. Oh, law. Oh, that would be a hell of a clip. Just cut that out of context. The laughing at the end. I broke at the end. What if I dropped it again? I shouldn't do that. Let's read the chat here, and then we'll move on. I think the league wants Denver to win the Super Bowl, and it can happen. Russell Wilson won the Super Bowl in the second year. This is from John Wick. I also think that the NFL wants Sean Payton to win the Super Bowl because he'll be the first coach to win a Super Bowl with two different teams. The Denver Broncos feel like last year's Kansas City Chiefs by winning all these close games. I am a Denver Broncos. Okay. John Wick's a Denver fan. We're reading all of his chats here. And it sounds like he's a Denver fan. But I'd like to have Josh Allen win a Super Bowl. The refs do help the Chiefs. It is sickening to watch. It gets old quick. That's probably a good transition point to talk about how the seasons come together. And ESPN, as woke as they are, they dropped a good article kind of summing up all the main talking points here. And a big one was about the Chiefs and how this season might not be such a bad thing for them, for their organization. Because like a competent franchise does, Kansas City is going to rethink their roster building strategy around Mahomes. And there's a perception, I'm reading this article, that that's always going to get me jarred up. Every time I go live on here, I start burping. And these burps, they come up in the middle of a sentence. Let's not give it too much attention. There's a perception that the Chiefs have been kind of perpetually retooling and counting on Mahomes' greatness to cover up their flaws and bail them out when things get dicey. Now, and this is what they're saying, they basically have two extra months, to focus on their offseason plans. And they hope to put him to good use. The main thing with the Chiefs, you make a couple of small tweaks on the offensive line, and you've got a decent, pretty good offensive line in Kansas City. What the Chiefs need to do this offseason is build a run game. They didn't do that this year. The run game, I think, was the downfall for Kansas City. You know, you got Kareem Hunt. He's getting older, man. And running backs are really... Jasper, can you not, dude? Can you not push on the camera? Thank you. God. Oh. Damn, boy. Now I got to move this. That's fine. Okay. This damn dog I got, man, he's vying for attention somehow, some way. He's so smart, he'll find ways to get my attention, like moving my camera passive-aggressively. Okay, but, you know, Kareem Hunt, running back's a demanding position. He's very old, I think. Yeah, I've been watching him play for a long time. Kareem Hunt, I just want to verify that statement. What's his age? He's 30? Damn, he's like only a year older than me. So, but for a running back, 30 years old is not young. Okay? And then Pacheco, he was lightning in a bottle the first couple years. It just hadn't been the guy. We're talking a lot about the Micah Parsons injury and how that might affect the defense in Green Bay. We're talking about league-wide buzz, talk about Phillip Rivers. And I just realized I got a jet in like 3 or 4 minutes, guys. I feel terrible. I didn't... This episode flew by. But basically, if I want to tie it all up, I don't know. Look, you know, you got John Wick in here saying he thinks the Broncos might win it. We got a lot of people saying that they think that the Bills will win it and that this is the Bills' year. I don't think an AFC team wins the Super Bowl this year. I think the Super Bowl champ is going to be somebody that no one's talking about, true to the nature of this entire season, the Super Bowl champ is going to be somebody that none of us expect. So with that, I don't think it's going to be the Bills. I don't think it's going to be the Rams. I don't think it's going to be Denver. I don't think it's going to be New England. I don't think it's going to be Jacksonville. I don't think it's going to be Pittsburgh. So, and really the only reason I say that, really the only, there's no logical backing to that statement I'm making. It's just the way it has gone this year in the NFL. The team that none of us expect to be in there is going to be the team that's going to be in there. I mean, LA's got a great team. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they went and won it again. Denver finds a way to win, but that team's definitely flawed. That's the most flawed one seed maybe I've ever seen watching pro football in the AFC. Patriots, they got flaws, obviously. Jacksonville, they got flaws. Pittsburgh, they got flaws. Could it be the LA Chargers? Could it be the Houston Texans? That defense is apparently widely feared in the league. They got a mean defense that'll sting you. And they went to a cold-ass Arrowhead week before last, man, Sunday night. And they were just putting it on these guys. They had the Chiefs in a mental torture chamber, this Houston Texans defense did. If you wanted me to take anybody in the freaking AFC right now, give me the Houston Texans, man. Because unlike my boys in stripes, this defense will rally to the football. This is a choice, guys. Physicality on defense is an art, but it's also a choice. And the Houston Texans do it, man. Y'all see them on Sunday Night Football in the cold at Arrowhead, running to the ball, throttling down, rapping and driving them to the ground. Fierce initial hit. Wrap them. Almost pull the legs in like a double leg. Pull the guy up in the air and drive his ass into the dirt. If you give me anybody in the AFC right now, give me the Houston Texans, because defense wins championships. Offense sells tickets. Ask the Bengals. That was kind of, maybe you should clip that. You know what I mean? But I think realistically it's going to be an NFC team. Don't see the Bears winning it. Don't see the Eagles winning it. Don't see the Bucks winning it. I think the Seahawks could be there. Dare I say the 49ers, I could see there. Green Bay, I don't really see them doing it. So I'm traveling tomorrow. So my flight is not until 11 a.m. local time. So look out for an episode here. Look out for us to be live maybe at 10:30 Eastern or 10 Eastern or something. Really want to get an episode off tomorrow. I'm going to try to handle everything travel-oriented tonight so that we can have bandwidth to hop on the live in the morning tomorrow. I would really like to do that. And I'm going to be in Kentucky and Florida for the next 9 days. Now, don't lament too much. I got us an on-the-go internet connection that should be viable for live streams. So you guys will continue to get daily episodes, if I have anything to say about it, while I am gone in Kentucky and Florida for the holidays. So excited to get that moving. All of those things factor in to what time we might be live tomorrow. But I would expect an episode tomorrow. At least for now. If we some reason can't do it, I will post about it. I'll let you guys know and keep you updated. But yeah, short episode today. We got off late. I got to go to jujitsu. Got to pack the bags. Got to do a lot of things, travel things. But I think it was a fun one. I think we had some good ones in there, some good bars. And if you're watching this for the first time, this is In the Jar Football Podcast, where we talk about the most recent happenings in college and pro football, really football as a whole. If there's something going on in youth football, we'll talk about it. And we're the fastest growing football channel in the land. Solo produced, solo shot, solo directed by me. So hitting that subscribe button helps me out a lot. It costs nothing to you, and it gets us one step closer to being able to start hiring a team and making this production even better for you guys. But regardless of what happens there, we're going to continue to be here Monday through Friday, 6-ish Eastern on most days. I let you guys know if we have an early show. Try to, at least. And regardless of what time we go live and whatever life's throwing at us, we are here. We show up on a daily basis. So subscribe to the channel so you don't miss anything. And with that, I do really have to go. I'm always late to jiu-jitsu. It's always the thing after the show that I'm late to, because I just get in the flow here, and time becomes like not a thing. And so I'm late to jiu-jitsu most days because I do this right before, and I get in a flow, man. Subscribe to the channel, damn it. Hit the subscribe button. We're here every day, man. We're working. Maybe we'll pick up where we left off here tomorrow. Look out for an early episode tomorrow. If there's an episode at all tomorrow, it's going to be early in the day. I'm talking like 10 a.m. Eastern or 11 a.m. Eastern, something like that. So hit subscribe so you don't miss it. And appreciate you watching.